Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see you today. I enjoyed that last song. Did you enjoy that last song? He is the potter, we're the clay. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are wonderfully made. I don't see it, but you are wonderfully made. According to the Bible, you're wonderfully made. Hey, if you're joining us online, we're so glad that you're here with us. We have a special day today. You know, God has been doing some wonderful things in and through our congregation. And, you know, several years ago, probably 15 years ago, we were looking at our church budget and asking the Lord, how could we be more effective at making Jesus famous in the Foothill community around the world? And one of the leaders at that time said, you know, we should take some of the money that comes in on Sundays and give a tithe back to the Lord and just set it aside so that it can only be used to make Jesus known, missions. And so years ago, we started at 8% of whatever came in on Sunday was transferred to the missions account on Monday. And then every year, we grew that percentage a little bit. And this year, it's like at 14 point something percent. Yeah, so that's great. And our missions budget here at Auburn Grace this year is $232,000. And so that allows us to do a lot of things to make Jesus famous. And you know, here's our mission statement as a church. It says, making Jesus famous by helping people. What's those three words? Let's say them together. Connect, grow, and serve. Connect, grow, and serve. Everything that we do here, we try to filter through these three words. And you see these words up in the foyer, in the entryway, out in the courtyard. But these three words have ideas behind them. The word grow, connect, and serve is the filter by which we make decisions here. The word grow, I mean, connects means, first of all, let's help people most importantly connect to God. This is where we tell them about Jesus or encourage them to follow Jesus more fully. Connecting people with God. Connecting with our faith community. God wants us to have a faith community that we get to know each other and we have relationship. It's so helpful in our lives. And then connect with your neighbors. Connect with the people that you go to school with. Connect with the people that you go to work with. Connect with the people that you see around town regularly. God wants us to build relationships with those people, with our neighbors and our friends and our coworkers, so we can connect with God, connect with our faith community, and connect with our neighbors. The word grow also has three ideas. Grow in your personal transformation. Which means God wants me to become what he wants me to become. I'm a work in progress. You're a work in progress. And transformation means I'm allowing God to do his work in my life, to conform me more into the image of what Jesus looks like. Grow in your individual capacity. You know, sometimes we don't think we can do that much for God. That how can God use us? And maybe we need to get a little bit of training. Maybe we need to get involved in some kind of workshop or seminar or Bible study to understand how God made us and gifted us and then grow in our capacity. I think sometimes we just think too little about how much God can use us. And then finally, grow your perspective. This is what we're going to talk about a little bit this morning. Grow in our perspective to see that God is at work everywhere. His people are everywhere. And as you get out of our normal routine of life, if we get out of the foothills even, and we go around and we see where God is at work, it broadens our perspective that we're just a piece of the puzzle. So that's the word grow. And the word serve has three ideas as well. Serve your faith family. God has put a special gift in you or a gift mix specifically to help other people grow in their relationship with God. And God's put a gift in other people to help you grow in your relationship with God. And we do that by serving each other. We serve God by serving his people. Serve your community. We love God's people to be out in the community leading something, being involved in an organization or doing some coaching or doing some assisting or helping out with this community group or at that school. We love it when God's people are out in the community making a difference for him. And then finally, we like to talk about this idea, serving someone what? Foreign to you. You know, serving someone that's different than you. Different economically, different racially, different faith. There's something that happens to us as we serve someone foreign to us. We discover that God can actually use us to help in that area. And so this morning, we want to talk about how God has been using people from our church, from this faith family, to connect with other people. And instead of having one share each week, we decided, let's bring them all on the stage in one morning, and let's encourage our congregation so that they can see what God has been doing, what he is doing, and what he's going to do through our through the church family here at Auburn Grace. And so let's spend some time. What we're going to talk about this morning is we're going to bring some different people up here. You're going to hear about some things that have happened, some things that are going on, and some things that are going to happen. And we're praying that it stirs our hearts to get connected and to grow and to serve people that are different than us. I'm going to bring Brooke Bai up. Brooke Bai is our missions facilitator. She's on staff with us one day a week. She's a great mom and a great wife, and she has a heart for missions. And so she's going to be helping us facilitate as we walk through our groups today. So introduce yourself to us and tell us where we're going this morning, and then let's get started.
Hi, everyone. I'm Brooke, and I just love missions, and I love seeing what God's doing around the world. My husband and I have explored the idea of being missionaries overseas, and in the meantime, until we know which direction God is leading us, we just feel like it's really important to be plugged into our local church, serving in any capacity that we can. Because we believe that no time is wasted. So if we're here, it's for a purpose, and we just are doing that. So that's why I'm in this role, because I have a heart for what God is doing, not just in our local church in Auburn, but how he's using our local church and other missionaries around the world. So it's super exciting. It gives me passion. It makes me excited just to see how God works in all different places, through all different people, with, a lot of differing ways that we view how to do ministry, and it's just really neat to see the diversity of God's body around the world. So we have a saying in our missions department at church that even if you're not necessarily going on a missions trip, or you don't feel called to be a long-term missionary, that we still have a responsibility, a call to be a part of what Jesus told his disciples in the end of Matthew, to make disciples of all nations. That wasn't a suggestion. It wasn't a, if you're really talented at making disciples, you should do this because you have a specific skill set. It was to all of the disciples. So all of us are commanded to do that, to make disciples of all nations. So the question is, how do we do that? Does it only look like being a missionary overseas? Does it look like going on a short-term mission trip? And I think the question is just to ask God, well, how can you use me? God, will you use me? So I think our challenge to our congregation is to ask that question, God, how can you use me? Will you use me? And to have a willingness of heart to do that. And the saying that we use is you can go, you can send, you can pray, or you can welcome. So I'll break that down a little bit. You can go, which means maybe God's calling you to be a long-term missionary in another country, or maybe God's calling you to go on a week-long short-term trip. You can send, which means maybe you want to help financially send somebody who's going to do one of those things. You can pray, and all of us should be doing that, understanding God's global church, that praying for our brothers and sisters is part of being connected to them. And you can welcome. And that looks like maybe like Arab American Learning Center in Sacramento, who have refugees coming in. Right now, my husband and I are housing a lady, a single mom from Ukraine. So there's ways that we can welcome people who are coming to the United States to show them the love of Christ. So those are the kind of pray, send, go, welcome. Those are the four words that we use in our missions department, so that we understand that as a local church, it's not just special people who get to participate in the call to make disciples, that all of us get to do that. So that's why we're doing this today. We want to show you a testimony of how God's working and how you've been a part of it and how you might be able to step out and be a part of it this year. First one we have
is Greece.
Yeah, it's Greece. So we're going to show you a video, and then we're going to call our Greece team up.
Hi, we're river below the Acropolis in Athens.
We were here just a few days ago with the team, and so grateful for Auburn Grace sending the worship team, Brian and Alan and everybody else. We're so grateful for the ways that they serve the children, as well as with the worship, Polita, with the projections and all of that. It was such a great blessing. Missionaries from all across Europe with United World Mission came, and we're blessed to be led in quality worship by the team. Part of the thing that the Auburn Grace team got to see was maybe some of the rougher side of missions, some of the costs, the isolation and the loneliness. And some of those sessions, we talked about some of those issues. So we hope that, you know, sometimes people put missionaries on a pedestal and, ooh, you know, wonderful. But we know who we are, and the other missionaries at the conference know who they are. And the price that we pay for being away from family and friends. One of the memorable moments of the week, in a serious sense, was that Sarah had just come back from the States, and
I had been in Southern California with my mom for about a month, and I said goodbye to her at the hospital. She was getting better, and then she passed away a week after I returned during the conference.
It's good to be there with folks from Auburn Grace that we know and love, as well as other missionaries that we know and love. We're grateful for your support over the years. We've been here in Europe 20-plus years, not aiming to go anywhere anytime soon. There's still so much to do. So thank you for the blessing that you are.
We appreciate you.
So I don't know if any of you recognize that is Todd Honeycutt. That is one of our mission partners in Slovenia. And he is the head missionary there who facilitates a conference called United World Mission. And they ask Auburn Grace worship team to come and be the worship and to serve during that conference that missionaries who are part of United World Mission come to. So that's kind of the goal of our missions trip. This year, the conference was held in Greece. Sometimes it's in Slovenia and other places. But so can you guys tell us kind of what you did while you were there?
Yeah, so it was just like you said, we were there to service these missionaries as they came from all over Europe, from everywhere in London, in Scotland, France, Spain, everywhere. They came to Greece, and it was their time of rest and relaxation, and they got encouragement from each other. And we were able to provide not only the worship, but we did a few workshops. We got to watch kids. We held babies. We just tried to bless these missionaries as they finally got some much-needed rest at this conference. And it was encouraging to see after the end of a week, had a few people come up and say, you guys are really a blessing to us. And it was nice to hear worship songs and music. And I'm glad I didn't have to hold my kid for a few hours every day. You know what I mean? It was really good.
And what was something that was impactful to you while you were there, Dee?
So for me, something that was impactful, well, my name is Polita Roland. My role was to present or project the words and support the worship team and also the presenters and launch their videos and things like that.
And she unofficially held us all together as like a group, just so you guys know.
And so what I'm used to, I do that here every Sunday, and what I'm used to is I'm used to having something, a very defined set. And so when we got there to the conference, it wasn't like that. It wasn't like that at all. It was very chaotic. And oftentimes there was not just last-minute changes, but there were last-second changes. And so I wasn't used to that, and I would get very flustered and very frustrated. I had a conversation with the missions team, you know, with the worship team, and after that conversation, it really changed my perspective because I realized that the missionaries live in uncertainty. Every day, they live in uncertainty. They're not certain about their finances, their administrative support, even sometimes their family support. And so once I understood that and I embraced it, I was able to really kind of support them in that role. And so what impacted me the most was just realizing that they live amongst uncertainty every day. And for me, I came back so much more grateful with the structure that I have in my life, financially, with my family, with my church family. Everything is, I'm supported, and that's really what impacted me.
And does anyone else want to share anything that was impactful, or maybe what your takeaways were?
Man, it was amazing to be just somewhere that has an older history than America does. You know what I mean? Our history goes back.
Greece is old.
Greece is so old, bro. I don't know if you know this. It's at least 400 years old. To be somewhere, and we got to see Athens a little bit. We got to go and take a day trip to Corinth, but our tour guides were amazing. One of them was a believer, but they would just throw out these tidbits, and it would sink in, like, oh, Rome built this road, or every war that Greece has been involved in, the Acropolis has been occupied. You know, the Ottoman Turks were here in this building. The Nazis were here in this building. All these things that they just throw around, as a matter of fact, they said, because of the Apostle Paul, and both tour guide said this, one being a believer, the other one we're not so sure, but she said, because of the Apostle Paul, Greece is still 95% Orthodox Christian. Not as a matter of opinion or debate, or it's just historical fact. Paul was here, and because of him, this is the way our country is. So that was hugely impactful. And now, reading any of Paul's letters to any of the churches in Greece, you can't unsee that.
What were some takeaways for you guys? Like, what do you feel like how it impacts you here?
Something that I'm extremely grateful for is our worship team is really blessed with a lot of camaraderie and love and a sense of family every week. But something that was unique about this trip was that it really stretched each of us as individuals, but then also stretched us as a team. So coming back, I found that the relationships that we have on the team, they're even stronger, if that's possible. So I'm really grateful just for the friendships that we have.
Awesome. So is this a trip that anyone can go on, or is it something that if somebody was interested in going and helping, is it specialized just to the music team, or is it kind of open? What's your thought on that? Do you have a thought, Brian?
Yeah, so typically these like Pleta said, these trips can be very chaotic because these missionaries, these guys are real deal. They've abandoned their home life, and their home is basically wherever God has them at that point in time, and they live off the seat of their pants. They don't know some of the conversations we're having. It's not uncommon for them to not really know if they're going to be able to pay rent because they're waiting on support for people, and so, but we're used to more of a structure, especially how we do things. But they just live changing things. We would plan a whole worship set, and they'd come in and say, actually, we're going to have you guys do this. And then they would have us start the conference, and we're like kind of standing there having to, in the moment, have to work things out. So it can be a little bit stressful if you're not confident in your abilities and what you're asked to do there. And so it's not one of those things where, you know, we're not really building anything. We're not using our hands very much. We're kind of placed in places, not unlike what we do here on stage, where we're tasked with, you know, leading sermons. We're tasked with leading musical sets or being technical or having to lead. So part of our trip, too, that we didn't get to experience this time because of COVID restrictions is that we actually do half of our trip in Slovenia. So every other year they do a Euro conference where they gather missionaries to certain parts of Europe. And then we go with our missionary, Todd Honeycutt, who's stationed in Slovenia, and then we help him and minister to people that he has us minister to throughout an extra week there. And it's kind of hilarious because we'll just get picked up in random cars by people, and they'll show up and tell us, oh, you're going to lead a sermon here, or I'm going to have you teach this person this. And so if you don't like that, if that kind of stresses you out, you know, someone saying, hey, are you Brian? I'm here to take you here. And I'm like, all right, let's go. I hope you're real, you know. And I hope you're not, you know, kidnapping me or whatever. So that's kind of what this trip is like. And it can be a lot of fun. And like Natalie said, it's a great way for us. Sometimes underneath that stress, that's when you really come together as a family and have to pull through. And then when you come back, you just have all these fun memories and just this closeness that we get to kind of help. So, yeah, I would say if you're okay with chaos, then come on board.
All right. Well, awesome. Thank you guys for coming up.
Thank you.
And they will be in the courtyard. We're going to have a table with all the different missions trips and people on the trip so that you can just talk to us and tell us, even if you just want to express interest, like, maybe I could go, I don't know. But anyway.
Great job, team. We've had another team recently return from Sierra Leone. Pastor John and Diana and Casey. Pastor John, tell us, where is Sierra Leone and how do you get there from here?
You can't get there from here. Sierra Leone, the trip began for us on May the 6th, 11:30 at night. We caught a flight at 1 o'clock that took us to Newark, New Jersey, where we met my brothers, Don and Jerry. Don owns a construction company, and he oversees, along with Andrew Klein, the construction projects we have going on, and we have several. And my brother Jerry is the administrator of the mission, and he is working with public officials, one of whom is a Muslim imam who wants our organization to plant a dozen churches in his district because of what the Christian faith brings to his people. Mm-hmm. It is amazing what is happening in Sierra Leone. Mm-hmm. So we met in New Jersey, flew all night to Brussels, from Brussels to Freetown, and from Freetown, Sierra Leone, to the mission site at what's called Newton Dam. 40 hours from our front door to their front door. It's a long trip, but well worth the time and the effort. Our mission was to teach a theology class at the Bible Institute that we were able to start 8 years ago. And for health reasons, I haven't been able to participate in recent years, but I taught a class along with Diana and assisted by Casey Klein, taught a class on the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So that was a week-long Bible class for pastors and church leaders, and my brother Don took care of construction projects, and Jerry took care of administrative details. But the thing that drives me toward this project has been driving me for almost 50 years in ministry, is Paul's admonition to Timothy to teach faithful men who will be able to teach others also. I love what I do. I love to teach. But it's teaching pastors that really, really turns my crank. I get excited about being with pastors and church leaders. Mm-hmm. So that was the nature of the assignment. The pictures you're seeing, we're just letting roll. We're going to come back on a Sunday after church, and those of you who are interested will go through details.
That's great. Diana, tell us what your role was in the impact.
Okay. I got to help Pastor John. It was great to be invited to go. His brother asked me to come in April to teach a class, and I said, I've never been to Sierra Leone. That's a little scary to me to go by myself. So when Pastor John was going, he invited me to come with to get a feel for the area, and John graciously allowed me to help him teach. I didn't help him teach. I got to teach a little bit in the afternoon. So impact-wise, there were a few things different about Sierra Leone. I've been to East Africa several times, but Sierra Leone has been through some things. some war and Ebola and COVID, and the poverty is very high. But the impact, I would say, was in three parts. One, watching John with his brothers. These are men who are have of experience. They've been around for a while. And watching each of them just fulfill the role that God has called them to do as a family, but and very strong in each of their specific realms, working together to accomplish something very, very large. So John in the spiritual aspects, teaching in the Bible college, his brother Don leading the construction, and his brother Jerry doing all of the, I was going to say schmoozing, but that's not the right word. All of the social things that you need to do in order to make a project like this happen. There's a lot involved, and just to watch all three so symbiotically work together. Hmm. So unity and teamwork was huge, but each of them working in their gift. Hmm. And then watching Sierra Leone's very hot. If I don't know. My impression of Africa in general is that the whole thing's hot. But I've been there lots of times and never been hot. This was very hot, and what impressed me personally was watching God's design for our systems. He gave us a really cool cooling system that we don't often put into practice. Sweat is amazing. It's and I so much appreciate it. No, honestly, watching beads of water come out of your body, knowing that you're just waiting for a breeze to come by, and it's very, very effective. But we don't use our bodies the way that they're designed. We avoid and we resist God's design for us because we want to be comfortable, which is also part of his design. We have a unique way to make things simple for ourselves, but in that simplicity, we lose something of the rhythm and pattern that he's created us for. Mm. But the most spiritual impact that I saw, one of the gentlemen in the class stood up on the last day. And I think there were 30 in the class, about 30 in the class, and we gave them a project. They had to do an assignment at the last day to teach through a passage of scripture showing that they understood the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and how they work together. And this one man stood up at the end, and he said, I'm a modalist. I didn't know what that was, but he continued. Before this class, he believed in all of the modes of God, God the Father, that there was God the Father, that's of the Old Testament, God the Son, who came for a moment in time, and then God the Spirit is who now lives and moves and breathes. They work individually. He did not believe or understand that they worked in unity in a relationship to create and give us what the ability to be in relationship. So he said that his mind was completely changed, and this class was that impactful for him in his understanding. So that
wow,
was amazing.
That's great. That's really great. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And Casey, how has this impacted you? Came home. What did you bring home from the trip?
Here I thought in my naive way that I was going to go there and. Am I on?
Take her.
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was asked just to assist, and my husband Andrew has been over there a few times doing a construction project, so I was excited to see that. And I kind of went in thinking, okay, I will help maybe teach or serve, and they were the missionaries to me. I came home completely changed. Pastor Phil, when you were talking about earlier, when your perspective changed, when you see the Spirit of God is so alive in Sierra Leone. Those people have so little, and we got to, I think the women were super excited to see Diana as a teacher, and so they said, can we bring some more women and just meet with you for an hour? And so we said, okay. So we met with about six women, and we were just talking to them about their favorite verses and what has impacted them in those verses, and those women, their trust in the Lord just blew me away. They see little miracles every day because they believe God will show up, and he does. They would say, I don't have any food tonight, but I know that God will provide, so I'm going to start the fire. So I started the fire, and I got the water ready, and then the knock came at my door with my neighbor with food. And I was just blown away. I came back here and had culture shock. I mean, I'm walking in Raley's, and we have a whole section just for Oreos. And I'm thinking, it's all, you know, it's an abundant, and it's such a blessing, but I've let it become such a distraction. And they worship the Lord with such joy and abandon, without the fear of judgment of man, of, oh, what is someone thinking of me? Am I moving my body too much? No, the beads of sweat are falling. They are just praising the Lord because they're so grateful for everything that he does every single day. And so they were the missionaries to me.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. That's great. Great. So, John, it took your team 40 hours to get there. You got there late Sunday night. You started teaching early Monday morning, and how long did you teach each day? How long were you guys in the class?
Well, class started at 9 in the morning. We broke for lunch, where we served the students a rice bowl for lunch, and then in the afternoon, we went till about 3. And Diana filled in the afternoons, because a lot of times in the morning I was exhausted because of the heat. But she did a phenomenal job of helping the pastors work through passages of Scripture for the purpose of understanding and then being able to teach. And I guess the takeaway for me would be so much of what I do in ministry is so easy. It is so easy in the United States. Jesus did a lot of hard stuff for me. And I just feel like when I get opportunity to do something hard, I want to do it. I want to try, even if I fail. And it was a delight to work with these two remarkable young women that had a profound impact on the missionaries and the pastors and the children. It was a great experience together, doing the hard thing is sometimes the most rewarding.
That's great. Thank you, team. Great job. Great job. Appreciate you very much. Great job today.
I just want to note that anyone of any age can go. John can go to Africa, so any age can go on a missions trip. I just want to make a note. we have a team that we are sending. So these are short-term trips that we've talked about so far. And we have a team that we are forming in Osaka, Japan, which Osaka is the second largest city in Japan. So Tokyo and then Osaka. And we have a team, Matt and Jen Daniels. Who knows Matt and Jen? Can you raise your hand if you know who Matt and Jen are? Oh, good. Yeah, a good number of you guys know who Matt and Jen are. So they were our first missionaries that we sent. They have another couple, Matt and Mai Higby, that are part of their team there. And then we just sent the Mallorys, Kyler and Claire Mallory, and they just are getting settled there. They've been there for about a month and a half. And so we have a little video update from them that we're going to show. And then after that, we will let you know who our next missionaries that are joining that team also. We're going to bring up the Parisi family also. So go ahead and listen to this from Claire and Kyler.
Hello, Auburn Grace family.
Ohayou gozaimasu from Japan. Kyler and Claire Mallory here. And we just wanted to give you a brief update from the future, since technically it's Monday morning here. We've been here about a month now, and time truly just feels like it's flying by. We arrived in some temporary housing that our team prepared for us in advance, which was such a huge blessing. The fridge was stocked, the beds were made, and we just got to show up here and rest after a long day of travel. And just this week, we got approved for our first apartment. So we're very excited for that. That will start June 1st. We'll start moving in and kind of creating our home here.
Yeah, and we've just been trying to get a feel for Osaka, Japan, and walking around as a family, riding the trains every day, which Brody loves. Kenna has just been so sweet. Definitely going against the Japanese culture. She's waving at strangers and smiling and just giving us plenty of opportunities to meet new people, which has been really sweet. But they're doing great. So thank you guys for your prayers.
Yeah, Brody has a built-in best friend here, Emma Daniels. And Matt and Jen Daniels also say hello. They miss you all. Since we've been here, we've got to see and be a part of all that our team is doing here in ministry through spikeball outreach, meeting local families at the park, young parents as well, and just figuring out how to transition the online ministries back to in-person, such as teaching about Christianity, having English conversation. Now that COVID numbers are decreasing, we are able to do a lot more in person, which is great.
Yeah, and we just have some prayer requests. Prayer for our transition into this new home as we just try to make Japan feel like this is where we are, this is our home, and get established. The kids with schooling and language learning for Kyler and I, as we transition more into that. Just this adjustment into a totally new culture. It's very different here. And so just be praying for us as we kind of try and figure all this out. And that God would just soften the hearts of the Japanese as we are here doing life, meeting people, that God is already stirring in their hearts a longing for him and a desire to get to know him, and that we would get to be that answer to prayer and tell people about Jesus.
Yeah. We've been spending a lot of quality time with team, which has just been so special, stepping into a culture and different world of what it feels like, but to have a little bit of normalcy in being with team, and especially from Auburn Grace, and how cool that is. And with that, we also can't wait for our new teammates to also arrive in Japan from Auburn Grace. So we just want to say hi and say thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys for your prayer, your support, getting us to this point of actually arriving to Japan. We could not have done this without you, and we just wanted to thank you guys, and we're hopeful and excited to see what God has in store for us here in Japan. So, mata ne.
Till next time.
And we'll talk to you later.
For those of you who don't know, Japan is, when it's considered unreached, it means that less than 2% of the population knows who Jesus is. And that means that walking on the street, or you would probably never meet a Christian in your life, basically is what that means. So the Japanese have very little access to the gospel. So the Parisis are our next family that we're trying to send off in 2023. And so tell us where you guys are at and what you're doing and what the next step forward is for you.
So first off, huge praise. God has been so generous through this church, and we are already at 53% funded. Like, already. Yeah. It is shocking. Yeah, so thank you. And we are praying that we would get there in early next spring. So if you can nudge your friend that might want to partner with us, send them our email. We'd love to chat. We are very busy, which is awesome. We get to hang out with your high school kids. We work at the jewelry store, and we are just hanging out with partners. So you are the priority, though. If any of your time schedules work, we'll fit you in. We have a basement playroom for our children, so you can come over. We'll hide them down there. They can watch Frozen. We can talk about Jesus. So, yeah, it's going to be good.
Yeah, and, yeah, tell us what your plan is for, like, what is the team doing right now? What's the plan in Osaka?
Yeah, so just like you said earlier, we're always tuning in to ask God, what do you want us to do? And so we're not planning on being missionaries, but, you know, he really got a hold of our hearts, and we've always loved supporting missions. And so we were good friends with the Mallorys before they left. And it's a huge blessing to think about being able to continue in that friendship. And what we're planning on doing with the team in Osaka is build a church. That's the biggest need in Japan, is they need Jesus. And we love people. We love spending time with people. And so to build relationships, it's really important to learn the language. And so our team is very dedicated to learning the language. We really want our kids to have community also, and so as we build relationships, the goal is to hopefully help facilitate a church movement in Japan. We would love to see native Japanese believers that make disciples, who then make disciples, then make disciples, just like Jesus did. And so our goal is, as soon as we can get there, we're just going to start and keep asking God, you know, what do you want us to do today? And that's the whole plan.
Right, and how can we pray for you over this next year of, you know, you're in fundraising mode right now, but hoping to launch in 2023, so.
We are just super grateful, first off. We need to be 100% before we can go. So if God's stuck in your heart that you might want to partner with us, then we'd be honored to hang out with you. We're also praying for people to be on our team to be praying for Japan. So my prayer is for prayer, because the soil is hard, and we are just counting on the body to be praying, and God is going to be like, all right, now's the time for the revolution in Japan to start, and we'd be stoked if we got to be part of that. So, yeah, we might be watering, we might be tilling, we might get to harvest, who knows, but praying for it is mandatory. Like, we need you on our team to be praying, so thank you for that.
All right, well, thank you, guys.
So we've talked about a couple of things that have happened, Greece and Sierra Leone. We talked about something that is happening, bringing our the parishes onto the mission field. You know, we're beginning now to pray that who's next after the parishes. You know, it takes 3 or 4 years to organize life, to get everything going, to a place where God frees you up to go to another place. We have 3 families from our church in Osaka, Japan, so we're looking for God to send someone somewhere else, somewhere else around the world. But as God is tugging on your heart, maybe you're going to be the next one in 4 or 5 years, be ready to go. Now let's move to something that's coming up. You know, Auburn Grace has been involved in Mexico for a couple of decades in a variety of places and locations. Most recently, we've been connected with a ministry called Rancho Genesis, which works with orphans. There's a lot of orphans in the Ensenada area, and every year they bring orphans to the camp, and they bring church groups to the camp to hook up and to meet up with these orphans and to become friends with them. And then year after year, as you return, you become friends with them. We have a little video about Rancho Genesis, so let's watch the video, and then we'll talk to the team leaders that are heading down there in just a couple of months.
Oh, ministering to the niños and niñas. That's it. That's all that matters, making disciples.
Thought I'd never be doing this. This is great, and I mean, there's only, you know, God and the kids is the reason why I'm doing this right now.
For those of you that don't know what exactly happens at these camps at Rancho Genesis, the touching of the lives of these orphans, I want to show you right now what that looks like. Just a snippet of it.
If you're roughing it for, you know, a week and you actually wind up having a lot of fun, you really, as the week goes on, it gets more and more enjoyable. They start making a connection with the kids, even though I don't speak Spanish and they don't speak English. You make a connection with them. It's great.
I stink, I smell bad right now, I'm tired, but I have a smile on my face because looking around, there's nothing else I can really do. This is a beautiful moment. Every day is different, every day is special, and I'm so blessed and lucky to be here.
The best part about this is just seeing the kids having so much fun.
We are at a farm, and we are introducing the kids to horses and all the rest of the animals.
His kids and loving on them and like being crazy with them.
I've learned so much. I mean, I would not have been able to connect with the niñas tonight if it weren't for her, because she was able to communicate with these kids and tell me a little bit about their story.
This is the land that we've been waiting for over 20 years. Land that we prayed over. We want to introduce you to phenomenal Rancho Genesis, new, the dream come true, God is providing. Right now, we are building 3 different camps, all on the new Rancho Genesis camp. Faith, Camp Hope, and Camp Love. We're going to have a community area We're going to have a pool, swimming pool area, volleyball area. I call it a freestyle area where we're going to plant grass and there's some hills. And the kids just come and do what kids do on hills with grass. They just roll down and just enjoy. And all the things that camps have, we want to have right here at Rancho Genesis so the kids can come and have a phenomenal week all in the name of Jesus. So they'll feel loved, cared for, and have a blast. But with the 9 acres we have right now, we have been praying for more than that, to be able to serve not just 1,000 children in 3 camps, but we would love this to be 7 camps serving 2,500 children per year.
Wow, that's great. Jeff and Lisa Grady, team leaders down there, how many years have you guys been going down to Mexico?
Well, the church has been going down about 10 years, and Lisa and I about 8 or 9 years. And Sean's going to be my co-leader this year, and he came down last year, did a great job.
That's great. So. And Lisa, what impact do you see is being made?
First off, like Greg said, they've been praying over this new camp for over 20 years. And a new camp is now established. It's about 3 years old, and due to COVID, there hasn't been a lot of attendees there. But it's glamping. They have it set up nicely with the indoor flush toilets and washing, so you get a love on the kids, but not too much out of your comfort zone for those of you that might not be into camping.
Yeah, so if you want to have a hard trip for Jesus, you go to Sierra Leone. If you want a softer trip for Jesus, you go to Mexico. Okay, I got you. And Sean, introduce yourself. Tell us what you do down there.
Yeah, my name is Sean. I went last year. Funny enough, I was actually at the grocery store, at Grocery Outlet. And me and Lisa just got to talking about the Lord. And then as I'm leaving, she's like, hey, want to come to Mexico? I'm like, sure. I'd love to come. So that's how I got into this. But since I went last year, I've been able to, praise the Lord, visit that specific orphanage that we're going to be teamed up with 3 times. I went to their home, and I got to spend, two of the times were just for a day or so. But one time I got to go for a week. And just to see the parents, Alejandro and Arcelis, it's really amazing because some of these orphanages are more institutionalized, but this is really a family. It's a parent who took on like 18 kids. 18, right?
Yeah.
18. And so just being able to spend a week and do life with them and see how they do devotionals with their kids. That's why I'm excited for this orphanage that we get to be paired up with every year, is because they really have a heart for
it. Yeah, that's great. And Lisa, what connections have you personally made with some orphans down in Ensenada?
Like Sean said, this is my family. These kids are my family. I mean, you want to serve, you want to build relationships. These kids want relationships. Out of this, many of you know my son Jeremy, but now I have 2 sons also, Alexis and Fabian, that are out of the orphanage, but I still maintain relationships with them. Going down next month to spend a week, just see my family. These kids are my family, Alejandro and Araceli. She's my sister in Christ. Oh my goodness, what difficulties they go through. It's my family.
That's great. And Jeff, who can go on this trip coming up, and when is the trip?
The trip is July 31st through August 6th.
Yeah,
July 31st through August 6th.
And we return to first Sunday in August.
Okay.
If you need more information, we have it out at the table. We have informational meeting 2 weeks from this Sunday. Anybody can go on this trip. Tom was out there. Tom can go again. I go every year. I'm not in the greatest shape, but I manage. I get through it, and it's just a great time. If you don't think you can go, the luncheon is a pray, send, go opportunity, so you can help us go. You can pray for us. If you know someone that might like to go, you can ask them. I don't recommend doing like my wife did, where she saw a perfect stranger in Sean in the parking lot and said, hey, would you like to go to Mexico? Because she came home and she was so excited. I met this awesome guy, and I asked him if he wanted to go to Mexico with us. And all I kept thinking was, how many sheriff deputies would be in the parking lot if I asked some 20-year-old, would you like to go to Mexico with us? But it's just, you know... It's a great trip. It's a fun trip. It's a rewarding trip.
It's awesome to see God working. It really is.
It is. And there are some difficult times, but they let you work around your level of, there's a couple work days. You can do as much as you feel you can do or as much as you're allowed to do. The toughest part of this trip is the last day, saying goodbye. That's the toughest part of the trip.
This is from a man who doesn't speak Spanish, by the way.
I don't speak Spanish, but I can communicate. You know, you don't have to speak Spanish. I get along just fine. Then there's interpreters, too. You're not going to be... I manage to just still talk nonstop, even though they can't understand me. But it's like having a conversation with Pastor Phil.
So we're excited for them to go again at the end of July. There's more space available on the team. And so we're so grateful that you guys are continuing to do this. Let's give them a hand. Thanks so much, you guys.
All right, so the last trip that we want to bring up is a trip that we took, a young family's trip, actually. My husband and I started thinking, like, it's pretty difficult to go overseas with a young family. We were trying to be creative with having some vision for our family. We realized we'll save money and go on a vacation, but sometimes why don't we save money and go on a service trip or an outreach trip? So we started praying about that. And we have some partners in Los Angeles called Urban Centers. And the guy there is named Tim Lansing. These are our young families that went. We had one more that wasn't able to make it. We just had this idea, like, why don't we do, like, an outreach trip with our family? I think it would be important for our kids to see us serving and to serve alongside us. And to get outside of our comfort zone a little bit. It's stretching when you have your baby needs a nap and all of that. But it's important, and so we just started saying, let's, like, every year, instead of, always doing a vacation, like, maybe every year or every other year, start doing, like, a service trip and kind of have some vision behind that for our kids. And so we... So we reached out to Urban Centers, and Tim Lansing, he's actually a dad and has four kids, and he was like, yeah, I think we could make something work, like... I don't know, if you guys are okay sleeping in the dorms and just figuring it out, then we'll make something work. So we know that young families, the dad has to work. We couldn't take a week-long trip necessarily, but we left on a Wednesday, got there late at night on Wednesday, and we did 2 days of service on Thursday and Friday, and we came home on Saturday. So it was a very short trip, but catered to young families. And we're going to show some pictures up here, but I'll kind of give you a background of what we did. This is Tim. He Urban Centers is a center where basically they teach you how to be comfortable with just listening to people and hearing their story and how to share your faith with other people. So Tim kind of did a training session with us, and then we asked them for a cultural experience because we can't necessarily always do an international trip. Would you take us to an ethnic community where we could let our kids be exposed to a different culture and encounter people from a different culture? So my husband Matt here will tell you a little bit about what we did there. The next picture the next few pictures are about what we did here.
Yeah, so it was pretty cool to go as a family. And like as Brooke said, a lot of times kind of culturally when you have little kids and stuff, it becomes all about the nuclear family, like the little safe zone, and you're always dealing with your kids anyway, so they keep you busy, and you think, okay, well, I can't really do much, but there are a lot of people in our community that we get to interact with, and we could interact with, we could reach out to. So one of the things we did was we went, one of the guys that trained us, his name was Ed Trenner, and a super cool guy that's just been doing this kind of stuff for years, and he finds different people in his kind of around his neighborhood and in his community, and he just starts developing relationships. So we went to a Sikh temple, or as we call it Sikh, they call it Sikh, but we went there. He had this guy that he'd met and was just starting to chat with and find out what he believed. And you know, I think the guy was, you know, kind of interested in sharing his faith with us. And it went a long ways with him, I think, for us to show up and just experience something different. And I think in the end, it's like we get to look out and see people that are different around us and see that God has a heart for those people. And it was cool. Our kids got to go into this place and see something very different than they're used to. And yeah.
Maggie, what did we eat? Do you remember?
We ate yogurt.
We ate yogurt for lunch. Yeah. We had curry and yogurt. So the kids all tried the different food, and that was good for them to experience a different culture, not just what they believed, but also what they ate. So that was pretty special. And then later in the afternoon, we went and did a park day for families, Latino. It was a big Latino community, and we went out and did shaved ice. And the next picture you'll see is we went out and invited people. So we went up and knocked on their doors and said, "Do you want to come to a park day?" And being American, it felt like people were going to be like, "No, you're a stranger, and I'm going to shut my door as fast as I can." But the people were very warm. The Latino people were like, "Oh, thank you so much. God bless you. And like, I'll try to make it." And some of them did come. And so it was just cool to see like even that cultural difference. Like Americans are like, "You're a stranger. I'm suspicious of you." But these people were just like, "Oh yeah, like I'll chat with you." And like very warm. So that was cool. So we did that as a family. We went and knocked on doors and walked around neighborhoods and did that, and that was pretty special. At the end, they have a pastor who speaks Spanish, and he shared a gospel message about your value in Christ, how God sees you. Yeah, and then this is the Sheeler family. They're part of our life group. We shared this with our life group, and a few of the families weren't able to make it that were originally going to come. The Sheelers are one of our families, and yeah, you guys should tell them about what we did on the Friday the next day.
So, unfortunately, we had a stomach bug going around during the trip, so not all of us got to make it on the Friday.
Hold up a little. Hold up, Michael. Oh.
So, yeah, not all of us made it Friday, but basically on Friday we went to a homeless Reality LA, I believe. The church is Reality LA, and they have a church that they use to provide meals for homeless in that area. So we went there for the dinner meal, and we got there around noon or somewhere right around there. Spoke with the director for quite a while, and then we basically helped prepare a dinner meal for over 100 people who came in through the door. But we spent several hours doing dishes and chopping food and preparing meals and just setting up for this this dinner. And then around 4 o'clock, we had people come in, and a lot of our younger kids served all of the kids or all of the homeless who came to get food. The day before, or the morning of, we actually prepared some homeless packets as well with just some basic supplies, some soap, some snacks, beanies, and things like that. And we passed those out on Friday as well. So it was a great experience. I think our kids really enjoyed it. It was a joy seeing them excited and happy to serve people. And just it's a challenge to get them to do dishes at home, but this little guy right here, Parker, he helped me for over an hour just scrubbing pots and pans, and it was nice to see them willingly serve and just jump in and help.
Yeah, that's cool. Maggie, what did you get to do? Did you get to bring plates to the homeless people?
I got to bring the plates to the homeless people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Yeah, so we just want to encourage you that any age can go on a mission trip. We had our 6-month-old with us, and John went to Africa, so, it's pretty wide range there.
And again...
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Lene wants, or Ashlyn wants to share with us.
At the park, I helped a boy. He was kind of crying, and I told Mom to come, and she helped him on the swing.
Oh. Nice job. There you go. So let's stand together as we close our service. Again, thank you so much for your continued giving here at Auburn Grace. It makes these trips possible. And we're praying as God opens more doors for us that you would perhaps as a family or an individual want to join one of the trips that God is doing and to make a difference around the world. You know, again, serving someone foreign to you, broadening and growing our capacity and our perspective is a way to see what God's doing, not only here in our foothills, but around the world. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for bringing us here together today. Thank you so much for what you're allowing our church to participate in. Thank you that you are everywhere and your people are everywhere. And people are coming to know you. People are growing in you. And you are working. You told us way back when you were here that you are always working, drawing people to yourself. And we see that even today. Thank you for the chance that we have because of our prosperity, because of travel, because of opportunities to pray for people, to send them, to go ourselves, to welcome them into our relationships, into our homes, into our community. So Lord, show us how to do this. We thank you for allowing us to participate in what you're doing around the world. Send us out now with your grace. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Thanks for coming today. Have a great day.